Harbor, Michigan, on the football field.
We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
We do want to win because winning is the epitome of team effort.
Every coach who ever put a whistle around their neck strives to be the head coach at The Ohio State University.
Welcome back, everybody, to Buckeye Bar Guys here on Buckeye Bar Talk. I'm Mike.
And I'm John.
Tonight's date is Wednesday, March 13th, 2024. And kind of big news happened today that kind of shook Buckeye Nation a little bit for, you know, with everything with Tony Alford, which we'll get into in a second. And then we'll head up at the end of the show or the second half of the show. We'll talk about, we did offense, you know, the looking at the offense going into spring on our last episode, and we will hit the defense on tonight's episode. So I get a, you know, I'm on a couple, we're both on a couple like different text services, belong to a couple of the different, you know, the forum networks, the different websites of, you know, the Buckeye beat reporters and stuff. And so get a text this morning, you know, or what, late morning, that Tony Alford might be going to Michigan. And there's, you know, multiple sources are, you know, confirming this to, you know, the network I belong to that the text service comes through. And where's he going? But Michigan. So we knew Mike Hart, he left last week. So Tony Alford was one of the guys in there, you know. It was actually a couple episodes ago. We actually talked about it. It was kind of weird that his name wasn't really brought up as anybody that actually has an extension. And it was under our impression that he was on an expiring contract, but, you know, he wasn't extended, you know, what was going on with him, like kind of wasn't anything mentioned for him. And so I guess, you know, kind of now reading between the lines is that he was, you know, both sides were kind of perusing various different spots and to see where he was going to end up going. And he ends up in Michigan. So first we'll talk before we get to the fact that he went to Michigan. Let's just, I guess, talk about Alford first, just your initial impressions about him leaving.
I'm shocked that it's Michigan. And I really, like, this point in the spring, I didn't expect to see it happen, but we've seen stuff like this happen before. So it's not like, you know, we're not privy to knowledge or privy to this information. So it's not like total like shock, you know, like it's just something that we got to this point. You got this whole new staff around him. It just felt like he was going to be there for this year and then probably move on next year unless, you know, he hit a slam dunk. Or, you know, home run, grand slam, whatever, in recruiting, and guys looked a lot better this year. But I don't know. I mean, like you said it yourself, he was on a lame duck contract. So obviously, you know, if the plans were already in place for everyone else, like, hey, we're moving forward past this year altogether, but Tony's kind of out there in the weeds by himself, like, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I think Fry might be on a expiring contract this year as well, if I remember correctly. So that's the two of them that they didn't have a contract extension, which is strange because, like we've mentioned, everyone else has an extension in place for the team. But I just thought he was going to make it through the year and earn his job. So it was kind of strange to see, you know, Trey comes back for year number four for this guy. Trey could have been a high draft pick, no matter what anybody says. Everyone knows the talent that he has, you know. Quinshon Judkins transfers in. So I mean, he had a stacked room. It feels kind of weird, but you and I were texting earlier and I told you, like, I mean, it's been some time since him and Day have been vibing, you know, like they're not on the same page with what the running backs need to do on this team. And his running backs, they aren't doing what, you know, Day's offense was doing, but I thought there was hope that what Chip Kelly's offense would look like, that his running back room was going to, you know, come back out and do their thing again. So little shocked on that, but as one that and I've never been an Alford hater, so I want people like, but I have openly said on here that, you know, 9 years is a long time. Production's taken a step back. Recruiting's inconsistent there. And I don't know if he's the guy you move forward with. So I'm not going to lose any sleep, shed any tears over him not being Ohio State's running back coach. I just didn't expect it to happen like this, but I think he is a good coach. Could this be a loss? Sure. I have to see that to believe it, though. I think they can replace him and do fine.
Yeah. The thing I wanted like to say about him is that, and of course, I mean, neither one of us,
we weren't haters. We've been very positive. He was great interviews.
I've always enjoyed his interviews. I mean, he's obviously a very intelligent coach. You know, I mean, Michigan hit a home run with that one. I mean, he's a smart guy. And it's a good program for him to end up being up there. And so that's going to be a thing. We'll hear, like I said, we'll talk about that in a second. I guess the thing I would like to say when you kind of look back through his seasons is that out of all his seasons with the running backs, he's either been like very, very hot, feels like, or they've been like really cold, and not like cold, like dead last cold, but it's like, I think like what, last year, this past year, like they were like ranked like 70th in the country in rushing or whatever.
It took them a really long time to get going running. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, and you can list down a million different reasons of why that is and all that stuff. And we've listed them all here. Like whose fault really is the running back room. But at the end of the day, he is the coach for the running backs, you know. Dallin Hayden, I mean, me and you have talked about that a lot over the last two seasons, especially this last season. It's like, you know, like I understood Trey, I understood Chip, and I really, really liked Mayan, but I just got to like the point this year, I've been like, you know, Mayan Williams is not anywhere near at the same running back level as Dallin Hayden.
Like, I don't think he is, but
like, why is he not, if you're going to have a 3-man rotation, which basically they did for most of the season, you know, why is Dallin Hayden not you're in that rotation? You know, him, Trey and Chip are your three best running backs on this team. And, you know, that was always just the way I felt. You know, as much as I loved, you know, Master Teague, the person, they just never hit on that one. You know, it just seems like that was off. And there was times where I thought, you know, that we talked about this a lot too, that they were just running the wrong plays for him. And it's just like, and I was just always like, and I get it, he's not the play caller, but you know, I think you got to have some sort of authoritative person be like, coach, you know, we have to call better, different plays. This is where my guy is really good at with this stuff, and he's not so great with this stuff. So let's put him in better places to, you know, better places to win. You know, it took them forever to make the switch. And I know he was hurt at the beginning of the season. It's a funny season and all that stuff, but it took them forever to make the switch to Trey Sermon when it was obvious that when he came back healthy, that he was the better of the two backs there.
Right.
And so there's just a lot of things that add up, you know, the Mike Weber and, you know, JK splitting carries when it was obvious JK was the better running back there. And I mean, he then absolutely crushes it in 2019 when he gets the, you know, it just seems like, I don't know. It's just a lot of things. And that's with some of the recruiting issues that, you know, they really just kind of, he kind of put his eggs in way too many baskets for whatever. It just seems like there was always some kid from South Florida that ended up killing him. And you know, like, and there's just some kids that end up in, you know, school that he's going to right now. And like, you know, or even a couple other schools from the Big Ten. It's like, you know, we could have had that kid, the kids from Ohio. Like, you know, I was really upset this season with the kid out of Moeller, that it's like, you know, like, why is that kid not, why did it feel like Ohio State didn't give him more of a look? Mm-hmm. Where, you know, so it's nothing, anything like major. It was just like a lot of little things just added up to me that, you know, I wish it wasn't Michigan, but I think it is time for Tony to go. And that I think it was time that a new voice is definitely needed in that room.
Yeah. And I don't want to accuse anyone of complacency or anything like that. I think Tony wanted to be a winner, and you know, I'm not saying that he was just happy where he was and resting on his laurels or anything like that, but it was getting to a point, you know, that things were getting stagnant there, and he kind of plateaued at Ohio State. I'm going to give some more opinions about, you know, going to Michigan here in a second. But with that being said, you know, and you kind of talked about like recruiting misses. I mean, not everything's on him, you know, like 18, you know, Snead and Gill, like you didn't know that they weren't going to pan out or that they were going to have transfer or get kicked off the team. You know, 19, Bijan Robinson is your dude, and you put all your eggs in his basket. You have a silent commit from him, and then just, you know, oil men come in the middle of the night and kidnap him. I mean, that's it happens. But then, like, and I can't think of the guy that went to, I'm sorry, I'm blanking. He's from California. He went to Georgia, but you know, it's like we were really high up with him too, but it was almost too late because we did put too much in Bijan. And then at the end of the day, you have to settle for Mayan, which I think Mayan was a fine, productive running back. He definitely did good in 22, but he was never meant to be the guy at Ohio State. And, you know, you get, who'd we get in 20? That would have been Trey, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. It was Trey and Pryor.
Yeah. 20. So then 21 was anybody? Did anybody come in for 22? Dallin Hayden. Hayden. So and then you miss on Mark Fletcher. And then this year is Jordan Lyle from South Florida, right? That is that his name that you over Marshall from Moeller? And look how that ends up. But I mean, you get good players in there also. The thing about Mayan, and I don't know if I ever said this out loud, like it was always on the tip of my tongue for weeks and weeks and weeks, but I would never say it. I didn't want to be disrespectful. I don't want to be disrespectful now for sure. Mayan Williams was a contingency plan, though, for everything that went wrong in 2019. Mayan Williams was never meant to be the starter at Ohio State. You know, as much as I like, oh my gosh, who was, you just said his name, the guy that the backup running back last year, Chip.
Yeah, Chip.
Okay. As much as I like Chip and everything he did for the team, he came here to be a linebacker. He wasn't meant to be a running back at Ohio State. You know, his guys were Henderson, Pryor, which I know Pryor got banged up, Dallin Hayden, and that was who he was meant to roll with. Like, you got to get those guys on the field. Those were your scholarship guys, and only Trey was the only one giving you any contribution. Like,
yeah.
So I don't know if you need to have a bigger voice, if he didn't, like, his guys weren't getting developed. Whatever it was, though, I mean, it just plateaued, and I think it is time to move on. And I don't want to make this a hate on Alford segment, so, you know, I'm going to try to kind of dial that back, but I think it's funny because I did see a guy on Twitter put up tongue in cheek was like, the worst part about this, it's not like Ohio State had great running backs before Tony Alford. So, you know, like they're going to be fine. It's just, you can make a bad hire here. So you got to make a good one, but there you should be okay. The part that really sucks about this with Michigan is when Ryan Day came in, he took, if you remember, he takes Manson and Al Washington from Michigan, right? And it's like, it's an obvious choice. We're a better school, better program. They're on the brink of disaster over there. And now it's like, why? And I don't think we're on the brink of disaster, but it's kind of like, is it a better job? Like, why Tony leave for Michigan? Like, so
especially when you think about, he had opportunities at, like, I mean, Notre Dame was kicking his tires. You know, he's had a couple of schools that were kicking his tires that were legitimate schools. And it's like, you know, I mean, I get it, not that it necessarily worked out, but Michigan, like, you know, and it sounds like they're giving him, you know, 3 years you know, $800,000 a year. So, I mean, that's a good contract. I mean, it's about the same what he was making money wise at Ohio State per year, but it's three seasons. So, yeah, I mean, you do got that. You would assume that, especially with possibly what's coming down the pike, that they're going to give, they're going to let Sherrone Moore kind of take the brunt of this. If they get put on some sort of bowl ban for a couple seasons, you might as well just let Moore take the lumps and then possibly get a new coach at the end of it, unless Moore is the guy you end up wanting to stay with. you know, that is what that is. So it seems like his job should be pretty secure for the next few years.
Yeah.
I get all that. But you couldn't find anybody else. And so I think the couple of things that kind of just worries me, obviously, that, you know, he's very familiar, some of the early stuff of what's going on. He's been in the rooms, you know, obviously they haven't really got down to brass tactics yet, but he's seen some of the stuff that Chip Kelly's introduced. So he's got some mindset there. You got two running backs that you're high on right now that are both from Northeast Ohio that, you know, it seems like you very easily can get one of the two, you know, does that possibly, you know, shift both of them towards Michigan, you know, it, you know, so you
if they lets two kids from Cleveland go to Michigan, both running backs, like, I don't know, man, you got to figure out a way to put up a wall. I don't care if they like Tony Alford or not. You get in a guy, they're going to like more than him.
Yeah. So, you know, that's kind of, that's interesting, you know, and then, you know, and I was listening to some of the guys like on Bucknuts today, like Dave Bildle, you know, he's talking on his show today that, you know, they kind of got, he kind of got wind of it like Thursday, Friday, that he was a real possibility at Michigan. And I know this is going to come off sounding cold hearted, and I really like Tony Alford, but if Ryan Day at that point, like, if Dave Biddle had an idea of what was going on, and it sounded like some of the other guys and some of the other beats had some idea about the same time frame. So if they had that idea, then Ryan Day probably had that idea. And I want to know, did they talk to him at that point? Because I would have been half tempted and like, look, like, you could go anywhere you want. We're not going to stop you going to Michigan, but like, this is over now. Like, you cannot be in the building right for the, just not with Michigan. And, you know, like, you got to go. And I think that's how I would have handled the situation. And I mean, again, nothing against him, you know, best of luck to you, you know, hopefully you have a good year, except that, you know, when we play each other, hopefully we beat you by a 50, but you know, we're not going to put our foot down on any of this stuff. It just can't be Michigan. We're not even going to play contract games with it. Like, you can't even come to us and be like, well, I talked to Michigan, they're going to give me 3 years.
Go have fun. Go have fun.
Good luck to you. Like, yeah, we're not going to negotiate over that. And, yeah, and I know with college kind of going more pro, like, maybe that's the wrong mentality because this stuff happens in the pros. So like, you know, but I don't know. That's just me right now. The fan in me been like, all right, you like, you know, best of luck in your career. Thank you for your service. It was a hell of a run. You know,
but, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Yeah, no, I get you. I know what you're saying. Yeah. I mean, with Tony, I agree with everything you're saying. I just, what I want out of the next guy though, is just simply, I want a guy that's going to represent the O that he's wearing on his shirt, and he's going to be able to get a seat at the table with any top recruit in the country, win some of them, lose some of them, whatever. But the kids that want to go to Ohio State, he's going to lock up and they're going to end up here. That's what I want to see.
All right, so just real quick before then we'll move on to the defensive stuff. Just our ideas about possibly the next coach. So, I mean, Dave Biddle was pretty sure that are pretty convinced that they did kick the tires on Eddie George. Eddie said no, that he wants to continue what he's doing down there. But, I mean, at least they did it. I mean, if anybody has heard me ever before, I've been always big on that one, you know, that – Eddie George, I know people like, some people are like, why would he leave a head coaching job to be a running back coach? Be like, it's a running back coach that's going to get him a head coaching job at a major school a lot faster than what, Tennessee, you know, Tennessee State's going to give him or whatever it is. I mean, nothing against them, but like, I mean, it's just a different type of brand, and they probably would be paying him just as much money to be the running backs coach as he's, if not more money than he's making as head coach right now. So
for sure,
like, that was kind of my point on that one. So what's next? I mean, there's some names that are flowing out there, that Gillespie, that, you know, did coach under Saban, you know, could he be a possibility? You know, there's DeMarco Murray at Oklahoma. And a lot of people say, well, you're never going to pull him out of Oklahoma, but he did interview for the Michigan job. So like he's open to, you know, possibly leave, hey, you know,
money and opportunity talk, man. I mean, we saw Trev Alberts today,
yeah, Trev Alberts,
leave his alma mater as an AD to go be the AD at A&M. So anything is possible. I mean, Ted DiBiase is smiling right now as I'm saying this, like everybody has a price.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that's a possibility there. There's what the Graham from Wisconsin, that's obviously got ties to the Ohio State, you know.
That's Washington, that, right? Or is it Wisconsin?
Is it Washington? Oh, I mean, it's one or the other. I can't think of it now.
Scotty Graham, right?
Yeah.
I think he's at Washington.
I knew it had a W in it. No, I think you are right. It is Washington. But, you know, he's a possibility here. You know, you got Maurice Clarett's been campaigning like crazy on Twitter that he'll take the job. So,
Someone edited Scotty Graham's Wikipedia already. I was thrown for it. It says that he's already at Ohio State as the running backs coach.
Who knows? Maybe. Says, I mean, Ryan Day does have to kind of move fast on this. But like I was thinking about this, like everybody's like kind of freaking out and stuff like that. I'm more worried about the running backs are there right now. I'm a little bit more worried about the recruiting. They got to get a guy in place for the recruiting part of it. But like, I don't want Ryan Day to be in the quarterback room permanently going into the season like he's been over the last couple of years. But if he has to do a spring where he's in the quarterback room and Chip Kelly is in the running back room because, you know, Chip's coached running backs before and like, and that gets them through the spring, whatever. Like it's not going to kill, you know, what this program can be coming up this season. So it's not like they don't have options to get through the spring. They're fine. It's, you know, they need to get a guy in place more, less for the spring practice stuff and more for the, you know, to get somebody there that can get for the recruits and stuff like that. That's just my opinion on that.
I agree with you there because, you know, Ryan Day coached with JT Barrett. He was a head coach for Justin Fields. Like, I mean, we know he was as a head coach of Fields, even though Yurcich was the guy and then Corey was the guy. We know Day was ahead of that room. So he knows, like, he's comfortable that he can work with a quarterback that, you know, that type of style, run the ball, you know, someone that uses their legs and can build an offense around that. So I think it actually is important right now. Maybe just have Chip focus with the running backs because he's the one that's going to be, you know, it's his offense. He needs these guys need to know what he wants to do with it. Yeah. So, yeah, don't mess it up getting someone that's not going to mesh with Chip.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's just my point. They're fine on the coaching staff that they can get them through the spring. They just need to make sure they get the right hire for, you know, the recruiting stuff going forward. I got to imagine, though, if, like I said, if this was kind of known since late last week, that Ryan Day's probably got some people in mind, you know, I would think, and obviously Chip probably has some people in mind, you know, Ryan might lean on Chip a little bit on this one and be like, who's out there that you think maybe you'd want to be the running backs coach?
You were in the Pac-12. Is Scotty Graham, is he the move?
Yeah. So I think, you know, it could be possibly that could be the thing. So yeah, kind of all threw us for a little bit of a loop today. I was not expecting that one. The big surprise of the day, I thought it was going to be Trev Alberts going to Texas A&M. And like, so I don't know which one is a weirder news, like, you know, Alberts leaving his alma mater or, you know, offer going to Michigan from Ohio State. It was like for both of them is happening as quickly as they both happened very quick after the other one. And I'm just like, God, that's weird. Back to back news.
That just tells me Trev must have loved that president that ended up at Ohio State because, you know, you don't just leave your alma mater like that.
Yeah. Oh, and that makes it interesting about Matt Rhule going forward. So, like, you know, because he loved both of those guys. That was the reason why he came. But, you know, this is not a Nebraska show. So, like,
I'm sure we'll talk to them later in the year, though, on Big Banter Sports.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Defense. So Yeah, we got a little bit into the defense last week when we talked about some of the stuff that Knowles was saying. So we'll start on the defensive line. That's where, you know, he was talking about possibly going to a five-man front at different times and them doing stuff. Obviously, this defensive line is loaded. I mean, if you think about it, I was like kind of thinking about some of the just some of the guys. I mean, you just think about having just JT and Jack back, but like, you know, Kenyatta and Caden, they're a year, you know, older. Tyleek's back. Hamilton's back. You know, I mean, Knowles specifically singled out Hero Canoe is the reason why he's thinking about going to possibly a five-man run, because he's been, they're like so impressed with him. Plus, what's his face? The other Caden, right? Is that how you say his
name? Oh, yeah, Caden McDonald.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think Tyleek mentioned him.
He's a beefy dude.
Yeah, I mean, so they have a lot of guys there. You know, they have a lot of guys in the middle of that defense. So they got to try to, they got to get with a good rotation to where they can get a lot of these guys on the field. And they got to do different types of fronts and stuff to really get the best guys out there when they need it. But I really think like this could be, if Larry and Knowles can kind of really figure this out together, this could kind of feel like kind of an old school, you know, you think about some of those Urban Meyer offensive lines, but it could be really impressive coming from the defensive tackle spot. Like I really like what some of the, where they got it some with the tackles right now.
No, I agree. You got to have a rotation. You got to have guys ready. Like I think that's been the biggest disappointment in 22. And then I'm not sure we ever got a chance in 23 to make the, you know, make a good actual judgment call on it. But the backups, like the reserve tackles, they just weren't ready for the moment. And he ends either, you know, like Javonte John Baptiste. I mean, he did not look ready for the part in 22. And then he goes to Notre Dame. They kind of beef him up a little bit. And he actually looks pretty serviceable when he's there. I mean, I'm not going to say, you know, he was like a top, you know, end or anything in the country, but he for sure looked like a guy that was ready to play. And we didn't have him there, and we had him for 4 years. So, I mean, he should have been ready by that point. And I'm not going to go through all of our defensive tackles, you know, that we had in 22 or last year or anything, but I think you got to have guys ready, guys that can make an impact. They got to be able to see the field. I mean, that was one of my biggest issues last year. And I don't know. I think they played around with Caden Curry's weight, maybe a little too much the first two seasons going up and down, but that's a guy that I think you can put him in a position where you just say, go kill the quarterback and, you know, he'll find a way. You just got to find the spot to put him at to do that. And I think it's all possible. I mean, like, I think Kenyatta and Caden got to have a bigger impact on the team. And it's crazy to say that to me because, you know, you got Jack and JT coming back. But these guys, I think, are difference makers as well. And they, you got to find time. You got to find a position for them. And I think it's very possible. We saw, and I might have mentioned this last week, so I apologize if I'm, you know, reusing statements, but the Cleveland Browns have this amazing defensive end, right? This guy that his name is Myles Garrett. Don't know if you've heard of him. Freak of nature, can pretty much do anything. He is probably one of the top five edge rushers in the NFL. I believe his first sack of the season came over top of the center this year. So, I mean, yeah. Get creative with people. There's nothing wrong with multiple fronts, getting more guys in, even though you have your ends in, bring in more ends. And I know LJ's has no issue with that. And that's kind of his staple, you know, his bread and butter, but definitely you just gotta, you know, rotate, get guys ready and just be who you gotta be, who he used to be, man. And I know Knowles is different. It's not, he doesn't do it with four man fronts, but it's time that, you know, we do become more dynamic and we're not just static with four mans anymore.
And I think like LJ can kind of approach Knowles being like, yeah, you know, I can go with some of this stuff that you were proposing, but I would like to see us, you know, every now and then let's throw the rushman out there, you know, like, you know, that worked, you know, let's get into the third and long and let me put my four defensive ends out there, right? Or three defensive ends.
And I think that would still work.
And like, yeah, or three defensive ends and Hamilton or whoever that, you know, can really like bully up the middle of the line. we saw both Caden Curry and Kenyatta in spots last year. They were tough to, you know, it was like
they were just better. Like, they were better edge rushers at the beginning of the season.
Like, why aren't these guys playing more? It's like, so yeah, there's some of that stuff that's just been really frustrating over the last couple seasons. But I know that they're just so loaded everywhere. And I think that, and they've mentioned this now a gazillion times, that they really got to get these guys onto the field and stuff like that. And they got to figure it out. And I like that, you know, the gears are kind of turning in Noel's head. He's kind of thinking of different things like, well, you know, can we do different fronts and different spots to try to get more of these guys on the field at different times? And so I think if they figure it out, this defensive line, and, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing how the rest of the spring goes, is that, and I know they're going to be very vanilla and stuff like that, but like, I think that they could get this defensive line back to like, I mean, there was a stretch there, and I get it. You had two Bosa brothers and Chase Young that, I mean, there's a stretch there where, I mean, it's hard to argue that they're not in that 5-year period, 6-year period, that they're not the most dominant defensive line in college football. I mean, that's like, I mean, they
top three, at least
they disrupted so many different games. If you think about it, and just how many times that, you know, they took over games and they were just like unblockable. And like, so I just think they got to get back to that point some, and that just, that helps everybody out. I mean, we've talked about the stagnation, and we're going to get to linebackers next, but like we've talked about how stagnated linebackers have been at times. Just a dominant defensive line, and whatever that dominance is, whether it's attacking the quarterback or whether it's like just eating up all the blocks, like, you know, that's just how you get your linebackers back into kind of being like old school Ohio State linebackers. Mm-hmm. And I just think that this defense, which is just loaded top to bottom, again, everything that's going to happen this season, national championship or not, Big Ten championship or not, beating Michigan or not, you know, beating Oregon or not, is all going to rest on that defensive line at the end of the day. Because if they get, I mean, you could argue both sides of the ball in the trenches. I mean, that is where this thing is going to be, but that is where they've been really kind of stale the last couple of years. And I don't know if it's been LJ getting older, him and Knowles just are not meshing at all, a mixture of all of it. But like, that's where I think if that defensive line gets back to what we're accustomed to, like, they're already on paper the best defense in the country, but I mean, then they would be the best defense in the country. And I think they could get there. I like the amount of talent they have. It's just now they got to figure out how to use it properly.
Agreed.
All right, linebackers. Now, the one thing I really like on the linebacker room is that, well, first of all, Laurinaitis. So they got a guy there that I think is going to be able to really coach these kids up. You know, Sonny is going to be playing a much more natural position, you know, playing line more down in the box. It seems like they're really now that because of, you know, the couple of guys that have left, that they are really gung-ho that, you know, CJ is going to play more. He has to improve a lot. You know, like, I know a lot of people in the fan base are like, you know, why is this kid not playing? Why is this kid not playing? You know, the couple of times we saw him, you know, he made a lot of mistakes. And like, you know, I think that a lot of people gloss that over, that maybe the coaches knew a little bit more there. There was a reason why he wasn't playing as much as he is. So he has to do a lot of improvements. Mm-hmm. I love Cody Simon. I love Gabe Powers. And I really think Arvell Reese could be a big threat too. So they got, you know, five guys there that I think can really, you know, primarily they're going to be playing in two linebacker sets, but, you know, they've even talked about they are going to go three linebackers at times. And so I think they have a good rotation there that between those five guys, they should really be able to put some really those top quality linebackers out there and get back to where God, for so many years, they were just known as such a great linebacker school. And I know everybody, you know, Penn State overshadowed them. But I mean, I could go there with any Penn State fan about like quality linebacker against quality linebacker. You'd see that it's not that much different across the board. I mean, Ohio State's had a lot of damn good linebackers too over the years. And it just seems like, it's just, you know, especially after kind of Pete Warner left, it's just been like, they just have not had anybody really in that linebacker crew that is kind of feels like they've done much. I mean, I know Tommy kind of started coming out of his shell, but then they kind of, I think they took away a lot of the stuff that he was really good at last year. And it's like, just because they didn't want to be as aggressive. And I think they got to figure that stuff out, because, you know, Tommy was, as you saw in 22, that guy's an attacker. He's not necessarily a dropping back into coverage guy. And, you know, so I think they kind of screwed the pooch a little bit on that one. And, you know, so I just hope that with Laurinaitis there, that they come up with some different concepts and stuff. And these guys are all very athletic. And so they should be able to really move these guys around between coverage, attacking quarterbacks, attacking running backs. And I just hope they figure it out. Cause again, a lot of the defense, we'll get through every one of these groupings, but there's so many positives in every one of these groupings, but there's some negatives there. And any one of these negatives could really be what it really takes them being a really good defense to being an just unstoppable defense.
I really like Cody Simon when you're talking about going up against the run. So, I mean, I'm all for him there. Cody, what I believe he lacks, what the last guys kind of lacked. Well, really, I mean, we've had issues since Malik Harrison and Pete Warner. Is our linebackers cannot play in space, man. They don't know where they're supposed to go. They just, a lot of times they just go into like soft zones and they cover grass and they let guys just catch the ball without any sort of, you know, effort or I don't want to say effort, but you know, any sort of like conflict or the hitting them. Now I do think we had some like bright spots in 22. I think Tommy got like two interceptions, I think, that year, returned one for a touchdown against Iowa, if I'm remembering correctly. So they did some good things in 22, but him and Steele, what they were really good at were just attacking, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when you try to make layers to them as linebackers this year, it just showed that they weren't really ready for that next part. Like you said, when they were asked to be more patient and kind of sit back, dissect things, it didn't pop like it did the year before. And I'm sure there's probably stats out there that show that they were just as good, probably better in some areas, but it did feel like there might've been a step back. And I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. You said, we're talking about athleticism. You're Ohio State, man. You need to have athletic linebackers out there. Like, we're not old school. Like, you know, you don't need, and even though our old school ones were probably just as athletic as anything we had out there this year.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, besides, you know, Steele. I mean, Steele's a pretty athletic guy, but yeah, I agree with you. And I don't think there's any excuse for it. You got to get these guys right. Now, I will say, though, you know, kind of going back to the defensive line, the interesting thing about a 5-man front, if you do have all this athleticism in the linebacker room and you're trying to figure out ways to get guys on the field, well, I think you could probably throw in that extra end spot. You might be able to throw CJ Hicks, Gabe Powers, Arvell Reese, Sonny Styles. You know, you could get an extra linebacker on the field that way by giving JT or Jack a breather, and you're not going to lose a ton because you're going to have a lot of athleticism out there.
I definitely see all that could be happening. Like I said, we said there's so many options for them to be able to just do a lot of things in the front here.
Learning how to play in space, I think, is number one for them.
And I think the biggest thing, like I said, they have a lot of athletes there. And, you know, something I would love to have seen them do a little bit more last year, instead of necessarily keeping Steele and Tommy back as much as they did last year, they should have did more of like kind of zone stuff where they would sometimes be the ones falling back, and sometimes they'd be the ones coming, and maybe some of the defense tackles or the defensive ends would be dropped back. And they tried it some.
Remember that that worked a couple times against Notre Dame. I think Tyleek almost had an interception in that game.
It just seemed like they didn't go to it enough. Yeah. And it's like, you know, I mean, you got to try to, you know, Tommy and Steele both are guys that want to be attacking people. So you got to try to, you don't have to be super aggressive because you can still drop guys back. It's just maybe not those guys. But yeah, I definitely like the, like kind of what you're saying. And if they do kind of go with the Jack some this year, I actually think that Jack should be one of those linebackers positions. I would love to see it be CJ Hicks or Arvell Reese. Like, you know, let's somebody with like some real athleticism, nothing against Jack or JT, you know, but those guys,
they're ends.
There's situations where those guys could actually rotate with each other as an end, have two tackles, and then, you know, use one of those linebackers as kind of your Jack player. So there's a situations there where they actually could get the Jack in there a little bit. And if they have a three man defensive line,
isn't that the ongoing debate though? Isn't that what Knowles wants to do?
It is, you know, but I mean, he is talking about doing multiple fronts this year. And I mean, that's a way to do it. I mean, you can, between a three man defensive line, a four man defensive line, and a five man defensive line, I think there's ways to figure it out to where you can get a lot of these guys on the field with each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's the big thing. So definitely, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what the linebackers look like this year. Cause I just the one piece, it just seems like I said, the defensive line has definitely been off, but you know, the linebackers has just been, that's been off for a while. Yeah. And it's just like, if they get that back up to where we expect that to be at, then again, just everything's, I mean, the sky is the limit for them defensively. All right. Secondary. So we'll start with the corners.
No notes. I think that, no notes.
Yeah. So those guys, they got four guys to play three positions here. And so it's maybe definitely
more, man.
It's definitely seems like that they're definitely going to go with the three corners, two safety look, because Jordan Hancock needs to be on the field pretty much permanently.
Yeah. Agreed.
Denzel Burke needs to be on the field pretty much permanently. And Iggy and Jermaine Matthews, they both need to be on the field. So, you know, whenever Burke or Iggy needs a breather, you have a guy out there that can go out there and play football.
High level, very high level football.
And, you know, and if Jordan Hancock needs a breather, I think Iggy can move inside and play a little bit inside every now and then. Or you could go to a third safety at that point.
Or so, Jermaine Matthews could probably play inside.
There's just Calvin a lot of
Simpson
options.
Or it's Calvin Sampson Hunt, you know?
Yeah. They just a lot of options there. Simpson get these guys on the field. That cornerback room is just so sick right now. And those guys, that four, I mean, that is like you're almost half tempted, just like nothing against the, you know, the other safeties. You know, I know Latham's back, but it's like you're almost tempted to play with the four corners and Caleb Dotts. Like,
yeah. No, I mean, you're not wrong.
Because these corners, they all want to hit somebody. So it's not like you're losing anybody, not even a safety out there. And like, and they'd all be your, and that's your four best corner guys. Like, could you imagine some slot receiver, like trying to put slot receivers, and you got freaking Jermaine Matthews and Jordan Hancock?
No, I never. Yeah, Tim Mullen's done a hell of a job, man. For a guy that got as much crap as he did when he came in, because obviously I think him and Knowles were just kind of learning each other, but or him and Eliano, you know, whose responsibility was whose. And I don't know. I mean, look at the product. Maybe Walt was the one that was teaching correctly. I don't know. But I don't got much as far as like what I need to see. I just need to see these guys keep growing from what they were last year. Cause they, yeah. I mean, all right. And that's almost like secondary as a whole, man. They were so damn good.
Yeah. And then you add Caleb Downs to it. So like, I mean, you think about the safety room. I mean, Malik Hartford's back for another year. Jahad Carter's back for another year. You know, Lathan Ransom's back for another year. I mean, so all those guys, I mean, Lathan Ransom was really good last year and you know, Carter has played a lot of football. You expect him to even be better this year. And, you know, Hartford, you know, he got the kill in last year and play. So, you know, he's going to be better this year. And then you add Caleb Downs to it. I mean, those four cornerbacks and the three safeties I just mentioned before, that's a damn good secondary. Like now it's just like Caleb Downs is there. It's like, how the hell are you going to throw against this team? Like, that's why so much is going to be, there's going to be so much attention placed on the front seven, because like, you know, I don't know, like if you get pressure on quarterbacks and stuff like that, I don't know how the hell a team's going to be able to play this.
I know he's a Knowles guy, and I'm sure he'll be fine. But Matt Greary, I mean, that's a lot of pressure for him. He's coming in, and, you know, he better have that safety room right. I'm sure he will. He's a Knowles guy. I think they like him. I mean, I'm sure he understands the setup language, you know, just as well or better than Perry, but you better be ready.
Now, maybe I'm making this up, but I'm pretty sure I saw this when they did the coaching stuff a couple of weeks ago. So Greary is definitely, he's the safeties coach, but Walton's now the secondary coach, correct? They pretty much have put him in charge of the entire secondary. And like,
I mean, he should be the secondary recruiter for sure, man. Like,
I think he might be just be quarterbacks coach. But I heard it on a podcast somewhere, but I could swear they said that he's basically in charge of the entire secondary now.
I don't know that for sure, but he definitely needs to be in any high level safety recruiting moving forward too.
Yeah. So, I mean, the secondary is probably the least amount of stuff that I have to say about it, just because, I mean, they are loaded and I just, like, my God, like,
yeah. I mean, I guess you could say, you know, Josh Proctor, that's a big loss. He finally hit his peak last year, and it was a hell of a thing to see. I, you know, wish you got him for seven, but best of luck to him in the future. Malik Harford, he had a tough learning experience against Michigan, but you gotta learn it. So,
taking your lumps is a good thing.
Yeah,
and he's only gonna be better this year because of it. And now he's gonna have, and again, you're not requiring him to be like, you know, the guy that has to go out there and start. So, you know, but he's going to get reps in there. I mean, they're going to play them too. And again, we've talked about this before. I know this is a great defense, but every goal in the world for Ryan Day and Chip Kelly is like, we need to put teams out and badly as fast as possible, because they got so many guys and just the underneath of this defense too, just like they do on offense, that they got to get guys in and get them real time experience.
Right. And the defense, I mean, it's going to be so damn hard for any team to consistently crack the defense. That's why Kelly and Day really need to be on top of their game, because they can end a lot of games quick with this defense. I'm not saying that, you know, you have that random first drive of the game that someone scores on the defense because you're just feeling each other out type of thing, scripted plays. I think it's going to be difficult envisioning, you know, a team scoring on this defense three series in a row, you know, and that's something like you saw in 21 and 22 that in 22, even though things were looking better, I mean, it still got to the point like against Michigan and Georgia where they were able, you know, they knew what our weaknesses were, that their safety, someone's going to bite on a play and we're going to beat a safety over the top. And it didn't happen last year, and it's just going to be better this year. So, yeah, I mean, that's really like they got to be back on offense, because they can definitely do some damage early and games could be over. You know, it could be one of those years that could be really boring besides two games during the season, which isn't something that I would say we are not accustomed to as Ohio State fans, because that's been pretty much every year the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Actually, no, 21 was kind of
one last, it's like one thing I do want to see in the secondary improve on. And they were great on it last year, but the difference between last year and 22 was, so 22, they got so much out of position at different times in the secondary because they were too hard. Last year, Jim Knowles never allowed that to happen because he coached them to be back last year. I want Jim Knowles to get back to being the type of coach he is. So the players have to be the ones to know what they're doing. So the players are the ones to stay in the positions where they need, like, Caleb Downs, the safeties, he needs to be the one that stays back,
right?
And be like, okay, like, I'm not going to bite on this. I'm the last line of defense. Like, I want Jim Knowles to get back to where his creativity is, that where he's bringing, he doesn't have to be the most aggressive coach in the world, but he is definitely a more aggressive coach than he is a not aggressive coach. And it would only be better that he plays to his strengths as a coach, how he's calling it. And I think he gets the fact that, hey, I don't have to be as crazy because I have better athletes, but I don't need to be ultra conservative neither. And I think the reason why he was ultra conservative last year is that he was putting guys coaching wise into good spots instead of letting the guys in their brains put themselves into good spots. You know, letting some people maybe make some, you know, attempts at the quarterback and stuff. So I would like them to see if they can get back to the spot that, you know, like, we just have a lot of smart dudes in the secondary and they know their spots. They know who needs to come and who needs to stay, and they don't bite on stupid things. And I think if they could get there, then again, that is where they could become the most dangerous part of that. That then just pushes that defense to a whole nother level.
Yeah. Year 300 Knowles' system. I mean, aggression fundamentals, they have to meet somewhere in the middle, because we saw the aggression in 22 do a lot of good things. End of the day, got them burned though, you know, having safeties on islands against the fastest guy on the opposite team, sending the house on blitzes. It ended up getting them burned at the end of the day. Last year, did not see a whole lot of aggression from our defense. Really played it very conservative. Just did four man rushes a lot. You know, blitzes mixed in there. They did blitz. I mean, Steele and Sonny Styles blitz a lot off the edge last year. So it's not like it didn't happen, but it was a much more conservative approach. And we saw, you know, we should have lost. I mean, could have lost the Notre Dame. That was a very real thing, because we never amped up the pressure, you know, and then it ended up against Michigan. It was just, that was kind of the end for us, that, you know, we let them drive the clock. And 22, you know, we did come out a little conservative in the second half against Michigan. And who knows? I think if they were more aggressive, I don't know if JJ McCarthy could have kept hitting his bombs. And I think, you know, Ohio State would have started correcting some stuff in the back, and maybe they win that game, or at least play better. But it's just, it's time, you know, aggression fundamentals, they got to meet each other. And you got to be able to trust guys that they don't need to be, you know, so far off the ball or be in zones all the time. Or, you know, I mean, I'm not going to act like I know more than Jim Knowles, but you know what I'm saying, that you can't just, like you said, you got to expect guys to be in the right position because they know where they need to be, but they can also make athletic plays on the ball when they need to.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Anything else you want to hit tonight? I think I'm good.
No, I mean, I think we hit all parts. I'm very excited to see this defense. You know, I do hope that, to kind of go along, and I think we touched on special teams last week a little bit, but just to throw them back in there too, I do hope we're a little bit more aggressive in our approach to try to get, you know, touchdowns or at least large gains on our special teams play. I think you've got all the talent in the rooms to do it, so I would like to see it happen. But no, I mean, I think concern levels on the defense, I would say, you know, your front seven, I would say linebacker is probably your biggest concern on the defense. Yeah, right,
I would agree.
And then obviously, like, there's not really much for the secondary to improve on, but you can always get better. So now, feel comfortable, would just love to see more guys getting involved on the line or on the defensive line, and definitely want to see a little bit more athleticism out of the linebackers. But that's it.
Yep, sounds good. All right, call it a night.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for stopping in tonight to the Buckeye Bar. I'm John.
And I'm Mike.
OH.
IO.